Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And we have with us this afternoon Jane Schindler. Of course, if you're listening on the East, it's probably evening, but here on the West Coast, it's a beautiful afternoon with a temperate climate and blue skies. And Jane Schindler is with the Eagle Forum. She's there in Colorado, and she's been very concerned about education in Colorado for a long period of time. She had actually done a video on the experimental programs that were being carried out at the schools in Colorado, and specifically at Columbine High in the early 1990s, and then, of course, after what happened at Columbine High School. She and Eagle Forum have put out a great video, which we are carrying. It's called Columbine, What's Really Happened. Jane, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you so much for being with us. Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about this amazing video, because it really goes into the background of what really happened and why it happened. And there are all sorts of side issues and, you know, about the police response. But the real issue is, what were they doing at that school that laid the groundwork for exactly what happened?
Well, what was happening at Columbine wasn't new. It's been going on for a number of years. And with the experimental programs that have been used on the children. And Columbine, being an elite school, all the professional people would like to have their kids go there. And because they want to be first and with the most and everything, many of the experimental programs would come to these type of schools first. And these type of programs that we're talking about had to do with deaf education. And deaf education wasn't just called deaf education. It permeated almost every class. It was woven into the curriculum.
It was woven into the English class. It was written in the math. It was into all the various classes. So these kids were just immersed with deaf, and not only deaf, but suicide education. And
oh, yes.
Pick up the story.
Okay, well, in the early 90s, we had a pro-family conference here in Colorado. I was conducting a workshop on the use of subliminals in children's school books. And after the workshop, this young lady came forward. She was a student at Columbine High School. And she said, "Mrs. Schindler, you don't know the half of it. What really is happening at this school is they're teaching us to write suicide notes, poems on suicide. We had a suicide talking day. It just, everything was so morbid and so depressing."
And, of course, even one of her friends had contemplated suicide, and she had herself, simply because they were talking about it and talking
right.
about it and talking and focusing their attention on it. And you have to ask yourself, why would they do something like that unintentionally?
Well, the bigger picture. Every child, when they cross the threshold of the public school system, becomes a dollar sign. And that we're going to sell this child curriculum, we're going to use this child to count up numbers for teacher's salary, we're going to use this child for numbers to equate the property taxes that will fund this school. Also, they have the kids take surveys, of which they sell to magazines. The money from that would give the teacher's lounge, microwaves, and so forth. And then the school would make deals with the pop machine companies and Taco Bell and McDonald's about what they're going to sell them, what they're going to serve them. So in many, many respects, these children are nothing but a dollar sign.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with Jane Schindler talking about Columbine, what really happened. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Jane Schindler with the Eagle Forum in Colorado. We're talking about what really happened at Columbine. And Jane, during the early 1990s, had been putting on a program in Colorado having to do with subliminal signs. Some liminal messages were being put into children's books. And after doing this, one of the young ladies who'd gone to Columbine came up to Mrs. Schindler and said, "You have no idea what's really going on at this school," and told this incredible story of how they were really, I think these were probably more or less experimental programs at the time, focusing attention on death and on death and on suicide and on death and on gravestones. And wasn't this more or less of an experimental program?
Yes, but it perked the interest. We did it. We asked Tara, the young lady we interviewed, if we could put her story on tape. She agreed. Her father's a doctor, a very prominent physician, and we went to their home. We videotaped Tara and her brothers and sisters, and they told us the story of what school was like at Columbine.
This was in the early 1990s. What? This was long before the shootout there.
Absolutely. So we took this video, and we took it to a National Eagle Forum conference. The Eagles took it all over the country, and it received a lot of attention because people were very concerned. Well, it drew the attention of 2020 with Tom Gerald and Barbara Walters and the Atlantic Monthly. And so they just thought this was incredible. They couldn't believe it. So then they started their own investigation. They did a program, a whole program on, they did several programs, as a matter of fact, on death education. And they said, you know, it sounds incredible, but we didn't have any problem finding it from one end of America to another. We had counselors that would have kids sit around and talk about the last person that died in their family and took them to mortuaries. And it's like, but why? And so even, you know, 2020 couldn't believe that these type of programs would be in the public schools. So it continued. And then when this was, as I say, in the early 90s, well, then Columbine happened. Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold decide to go to their school and kill teachers and students, and they intended to inflict much more harm than they actually did, in that they planned for their bombs to blow up the school, and God intervened. Those bombs did not go off.
Hold that thought for just one moment, okay. Jane, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Jane Schindler from the Colorado Eagle Forum, and we're talking about a video that they put out, Columbine, what really happened. And we're going to be carrying this video. We've seen it. We think it's so important to understand that there is this program to focus the consume them almost with this death education. It was woven to every individual program, a class that they had, not only on death but on suicide, and talk about suicide and write about suicide and describe suicide and plan how you would commit suicide. And why would you do anything this evil? Because it really is evil. And I think until people understand that there really is this force that seems to have permeated our education, you can't understand anything going on today. You pick up the story there, Jane.
Well, with Tara, after Columbine happened, she was contacted again by the media.
Now, this is the young lady that you'd interviewed in the early 1990s and who'd even contemplated suicide because these ideas had been introduced into her line. So now they're going to contact her again after Columbine?
Yes. And they asked her what she thought. And she said, "Well, are you surprised?" She said, "What's changed?" "Nothing's changed." She said, "It's only gotten much worse, in that you need to add the fact that Hollywood looks at the children as nothing but media or as money. Without teens' money, Hollywood would stop. I mean, they would cease to exist with the movies, the music, the videos. And add that to the fact that the children are required by law to attend school every day. Well, you asked yourself, how much depressing material could you stand? I mean, to go to school every day for every class, 6 hours a day, there isn't anything good, wholesome, uplifting, nothing. And it's just every day and every day and every day.
Almost like they're programming them with this sense of hopelessness.
Yes, yes. And so here's Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. And when you look at the history of these young boys, they were in Boy Scouts, they were playing sports, they were doing soccer, they were very involved, young men, and involved with their families. Then they entered Columbine. And so when you have to ask yourself, well, what made such a drastic change in these boys? Well, not every child that goes to Columbine would be affected to the negative, but it would be hard not to be. Well, Eric and Dylan had a friendship with some other young people that wasn't exactly wholesome.
Now, this was the Trench Coat Mafia. There was not just these two boys. There were a number of boys there that were really involved in this whole macabre approach to life.
Yes, they were. And so when you look at, okay, what did the boys do? Well, the boys terrorized the other students, and that they just looked upon the school setting as their way to torture people, to get themselves noticed. And in their writings and in their website, both of the boys talked about how that if anybody upset them, if you looked at them cross-eyed walking down the hall or whatever, at night, they would go to your home, they would drive through your lawn, put super glue in your door locks, set off firecrackers, TP your home, do all kinds of vandalism to your home just to prove that they could do it and get away with it. Well, unfortunately for them, they decided to vandalize a car and steal some property, and they were caught. So as part of their program for rehabilitation, both of their fathers went to court with them, and the judge ordered these boys into an anger management course. Well, boy, that made things so much worse, because in this anger management course, we know that Eric Harris was required to take a drug called Luvox. We don't know about Dylan Klebold, because he was underage when all of the drug testing took place on their bodies after they had committed suicide. Well, you mean to think that they would put one boy on a mind-altering drug and not the other boy?
And, of course, sometimes doesn't Luvox have just the opposite effect to make people almost suicidal and angry?
Oh, it does. Instead of making them less angry, it made them more angry. And then we had testimony at the Colorado State Capitol after Columbine by doctors and psychologists that were saying, you know, this was just a loaded weapon to put in their hands. On top of that, who told them that as you took this drug, you weren't supposed to drink? Well, these boys were underage. You think they're going to tell anyone how much alcohol they were consuming?
But weren't they involved in a lot of video games, too, of violence? And weren't they going to a lot of violent movies and listening to a lot of violent rock music? And then weren't they also making videos of their own that talked about killing?
Yes, absolutely. And they took, I mean, speaking of the videos, for their video class at Columbine High School, they were required to make a video. So they took school equipment. They went to the mountains with their guns, and they videotaped themselves in their trench coats with their guns and target practicing. And they were making comments about, look at when this or that exploded. Well, that could be like someone's head exploding. It was a very, very violent video. Well, they showed this to the class. And so, of course, hindsight's asking, well, weren't there any red flags? Didn't anybody object? Why didn't somebody say something about a video like that?
Well, I understood that there were actually some people had reported them to the police. They were so concerned about it,
yes.
And the police weren't concerned.
Well, that's what I'm leading up to, is that when they asked the other students why they didn't become concerned about this video, the response was their video wasn't any different from the other kids in the class. There were violent videos or sexual videos.
And, of course, I think another thing that you have a wonderful interview there with a young man who's in this class, and the whole thing is obsessed with sex, and he's very upset and offended by what they're doing, but their sex education is so explicit. You know, everybody is so concerned about, oh, my goodness, pornography on the Internet. Nobody ever talks about pornography in the classroom, starting in kindergarten and going all the way through with things that they never should be talking to these young people about. Seems to me sometimes we're emphasizing or focusing on the wrong thing. Did you ever have that feeling, Jane?
When we were making this video, we were interviewing Mark Taylor, and he was a young man who was shot several times by Eric Harris. As a matter of fact, he was the first boy that was shot. He's had numerous surgeries, but we asked Mark if we could video his response for the video that we made, Columbine, What Went Wrong. And in there, he was describing, we said, Mark, tell us about a typical day at Columbine High School. What were your classes like? And he started out telling us about his first hour class that was a health class, and it was so pornographic, his description of what was going on in the class. Some people said, well, you can't put that on your tape. I mean, people can't watch that. I mean, look how that will upset parents.
Well, maybe it ought to upset parents, isn't it? But to realize what they're doing to our kids in our schools.
Absolutely, and that was my response. Oh, you mean it's too offensive for you, but your children can go to school and be subjected to it, to even having your daughter put a condom on a banana? And that's, you know, you just can't talk about it. We can't tell you what's going on in the school. I mean, people were really upset about that portion of our video, that how dare we include that. And I thought, you must be kidding.
But because, you see, people don't want to see reality. They want to think if they just put a screen on their television at home, their child is protected without understanding what they're doing to their souls in school.
Well, and then you have the parents that say, well, maybe that's happening in your kid's school, but it's not happening in mine, and we're going to move off to the mountains or the country or wherever so that our children will have a decent education. There isn't any place you can hide from this stuff. If you've got a TV set or a computer in your home, and the school system, it's throughout. It's wherever you go. You aren't going to run away from it. You're going to have to answer to the Lord on how you raise these children, what you subjected them to, and you need to know what you're putting your children through every day. And it's a total war against your values and what you want them to learn at home. And so when the children come home and they're of a rebellious nature, remember, you sent them to those folks for them to teach and to train, and they've done just that with your blessing, and the child has seen that. Mom and Dad sent me. Mom and Dad said it's okay. Then it's all right. This must be the way I should be acting. And this is what had happened with Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. They were, you add the destructive behavior, the destructive influences, what they were being taught. It was a prescription for disaster.
It sure was. Well, this is a great What Went Wrong, Columbine, What Went Wrong, and we recommend it. We do have it. We're going to stock it because we think it's so important. And you can get that video by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
tape set on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierney. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Jane Schindler from Eagle Forum, and there in Colorado. Jane, would you like to get your website out?
Yes, our national website is www.eagleforum.org.
All right, fine. You don't have a special one there for Colorado?
No, most of our things go through the national.
All right, fine. Well, of course, this video really has a tremendous impact. As you see the young people in the video, a lot of great and very, very powerful footage, and what a terrible catastrophe this was for these young people. And, of course, I'm sure that you brought out the terrible things that this death education and the suicide education and the sex education and the breaking down of the morals of our children does. Now, have things changed at Columbine for the better? Are they getting back back to morality and teaching righteousness and getting them away from this terrible oppression and depression and sense of hopelessness?
No, unfortunately. The hearings that were held at the state legislature after Columbine to do an investigation into what had happened. Well, they focused on everything except what the children were being taught in the classroom. And our video interviews the children, and they're going to tell you what happened and why. And at the state legislature, they talked about what could be done. So the legislature passed what they called an anti-bullying measure. And the teachers have to take teen terrorist training and how to deal with the kids that might be terrorists. And they have to have the kids respond to this just like they would a fire drill. The kids have to go through metal detectors. They've got surveillance cameras now at the doors of most of the schools. Sounds kind of like a jail. The schools, again, they've not changed in their perspective in that the child is nothing but money. The Colorado State School Board passed a resolution stating that the teachers could not act as doctors and recommend that children be put on Ritalin if they were a problem. Congressman Tom Pancrato introduced legislation, well, it was passed in Congress, and they set up a school safety hotline where that the kids could call and report other kids that they felt might be a danger to them or to the school. And that hotline has received thousands of calls. It's overwhelming. You don't know for sure if they're a hoax or if it's for real. I mean, it has to be very difficult for our police department to deal with these type of children because, again, they are children, they are underage. What a predicament the police department was in with the families that had reported Eric Harris and Dylan Klevold. They should have taken it more seriously, without doubt. They should have. But, however, when you have so many, how do you know that these two are the ones to really watch? And also, since Columbine, the media has decided that we just won't talk about it. We won't report it like we used to do. If there's a school shooting or an attempted school shooting, if we just play it down, it won't happen.
But are they continuing the death education? Are they continuing the suicide education? Oh. Are they continuing the sex education, the graphic description starting at very young ages across Colorado?
Absolutely, absolutely. And right now in the United States Senate, Senator Gordon Smith from Oregon has introduced legislation to give us more death education, kindergarten through 12th grade.
The good place to start for death education is in kindergarten if you really want to harm these children's psyche.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a tragedy in Senator Gordon's family. And unfortunately, he has been led to believe that if we just teach the children about it, that it will be helpful. He's not looked at the disastrous results that we've had already. And my suggestion was that he look at the type of medication that's been given to children. So, okay, we're going to have this legislation. Apparently, it's flying through Congress. You need to call your senator, your United States senator, your congressman, and tell them you do not want more of this. I mean, when Planned Parenthood went into the schools to teach sex education, we had more unwanted pregnancies. Not less.
And of course, what is the House resolution number?
I don't have that. You can simply get it by calling the Capitol switchboard.
All right, fine. So we're going to just take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact our new today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, that we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest, this guest this afternoon is Jane Schindler, and of course she's from the Eagle Forum there in Colorado. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And there are lots of other issues, that the response of the police and suggesting there were some other people involved and some other shootings, but the real issue, they really distracts you from the real issue, and that is what they're doing to the minds of the children there at Columbine, and not just at Columbine, all across the country. Now, you actually interviewed Dr. Colson, who I know had been with Dr. Rogers, Maslov and Rogers, trying all these experimental programs on the children. And of course, would you like to just mention what Dr. Colson said when you interviewed him?
Dr. Colson was instrumental in helping put some of these programs into the schools. And he's recanted that, and he's now dedicating much of his work to trying to undo the garbage that has proliferated the schools. And that if we're going to spend all of this time on all of these experimental programs, when in the world are the children going to learn to read, to write, to spell, the things that will help them truly feel better about themselves and to be able to function in society, to support their families in the future, that they're able to read their utility bill, to write a check. If you spend so much time with all of the experimental programs, which is, again, this concern that Senator Gordon Smith wanting this more death education put into the schools, What will it be taking away from? What will they be removing? We've talked for years, and this is something that's covered in our video about how the pornography industry, you need to understand that the publishing companies that publish school books also are involved with pornographic materials, publishing companies. So in the early 60s, Harper and Row sought out Playboy authors, Shel Silverstein, to do children's books. And he wasn't sure why they would want him to do children's books, but he soon got the message in that his book, A Light in the Attic, there is a subliminal sex organ on every page in the book. And this book is so innocent, you will find it in Christian schools, Christian bookstores, because the people simply don't know. They're trusting in that this book has to be okay. But what Harper and Row did is they set up their own authors. For example, the lady who wrote Harry Potter, they sought her out, they promoted her, and if you have the blessing of the Library Association, then you are automatically a sought-after author. But you're handpicked by them.
And that's unfortunate, and people don't understand what they're doing to the minds of our children. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not accidental. Let's go to Sylvia, who's calling in from Texas. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, Sylvia. Hi, Dr. Stan. How are you doing?
You have a question or comment?
I have a comment. About 5 years ago, my son's gone through the school system, and I actually have two sons, and one of them was one of these kids that are picked on and bullied for no reason. They'll walk into a class and they attract a bad element right away that just picks on him unmercifully. And every time they would go ahead and get called into the office after a fight, my son ended up with a busted nose, a busted lip, chipped teeth. He was set on by 15 kids for no reason. Unfortunately, this was an ongoing thing in the school. He never fought back. He never fought back verbally or physically, and so he was just being picked on. We'd gone to the school multiple times and tried to sort things out and figure out what was going on. And every time he was called in the office because of a fight, of course they would call all the kids involved in, and none of them would be on his side, so he would get punished as well as the people who'd beaten him up.
And why didn't you move him to another school?
We did. We going ahead and moved him to another school district. And the same thing was happening. He was just a person who just, I'm not sure why he was attracting those types of people. We had him in therapy and everything.
All right, Jane, how would you respond to Sylvia?
Well, I think she makes our point very well, that it doesn't matter what school or where you take them to, and it's not necessarily, at Columbine, they tried to say it was the good kids, the jocks, that picked on them. It was not. Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were the ones that were picking on the other children. And it is very difficult for the school when the children are in control and instead of the authority that should be in control.
And, of course, I think one of the things is that many of the administrators refuse to take responsibility. They're afraid of the kids. They're afraid to do anything. And what we're teaching our kids in school is to be militant, to do we are creating tremendous illness within our children.
Yes. And, Dr. Stan, I hate to say this, but my son's white, and the kids that were picking on him were black.
All right. Well, that's an unfortunate situation. If there's any way that you can possibly get your child homeschooled, they'll be far better off, I'll tell you.
That's what we ended up having to do, was pull him out of school because he became suicidal.
All right. Well, I'm so glad you got him out of school. He'll be a far better off human being if you raise him rather than give him to the government. Thank you so much. Anything else you want to say?
Well, I just, until we address the race issues in the school and until we address the bullies, and we hold the bullies accountable and not pull in all their friends.
Yeah, but do you ever stop and think maybe we ought to teach morality in our school? We ought to teach right and wrong. Maybe we ought to even do something revolutionary like mention God.
Oh, yes, definitely. I was raised in England, and we was raised with the Bible in church, but that was back in the 60s, and unfortunately it was removed, and you know, we had religious education and prayer every day, and I'm just really sorry it was ever removed.
All right, fine. Thank you so very much for calling, and I just hope your son gets over this, and you can bring him up in the way of the Lord, because that's the most important thing.
Definitely.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Do you have any other thoughts, Jane, as far as Sylvia is concerned? Because you could just see, you know, what a terrible thing this is. And I'm sure there are racial overtones to a lot of things. But you would not have this if you had administrators in school who weren't afraid to discipline children for doing things like that.
Okay, yes, my thought comes to the DARE program. Our grandchildren, Christian school here in Colorado, and the DARE program was invited in. And our children objected to their children being taught the DARE program. So what did they do? Our grandson had to sit out in the hall by himself at a desk while the rest of the kids had the DARE program. And the police officer comes in, and they do not teach that drug abuse is wrong. They teach you to do it respectfully. And that if mom and dad have aspirin in the medicine cabinet, well, that's a drug. If they drink coffee, that's a drug. So perhaps your parents are into drugs. And then they also have a box that they can have the kids write, turn their parents in for any suspected drug that they might have in their home.
Well, talk about trying to turn the kids against their parents. And I've seen this program. Oh, if they smoke, why, if they drink alcohol, this is all drugs. Mm-hmm. They're all drugs just like marijuana and cocaine. What they're really teaching our children to do with the DARE program is what Aleister Crowley taught, and that is do what you do, do what you will. That's all right. You make the decision as to what's right and wrong. If the DARE program was effective, we wouldn't have the kids on drugs. Yeah, I think it was designed to accomplish exactly what it's accomplished with so many of our young people onto drugs, just like the sex education is designed to do what it's accomplished, so many of our children into promiscuous sex. They know what they're doing. It's just the tragedy is that either the parents don't know or maybe they don't care.
Well, you know, we're losing the drug war, not just with illegal drugs, but with legal drugs. No, I can't stress enough, the minute your children step across that threshold into the public school, you have given your blessing to putting them there, which you did not have to do, but you have given your blessing to putting them there, and they have become a dollar bill for that school or for that drug company or that curriculum salesman, whoever, that candy, pop, all the types of things that you would try to shield your children from, they're just an open target.
And I think that the idea of putting 8 million children on Ritalin is criminal activity, and it's an addicting drug. It causes their brains to shrink. It actually has an impact on their going through adolescence. And we have a four-tape set, and if you haven't heard our four-tape set on Ritalin, you really need to get that. You need to understand what they're doing to our children in our schools, and then if you love your children, your grandchildren, get them out. And be careful of the Christian school. I put my granddaughter into a Christian school and paid for her to go there, and then I read one of the books that she was required to read. Nothing, no redeeming qualities, nothing Christian in it at all, a sense of hopelessness, where, of course, there wasn't one individual there who was a heroic or moral individual. They were all depraved. What are they doing with that in Christian schools? Why, they're destroying their souls. Let's go to Roger calling from Allentown. Hi, Roger.
Yes, thank you. And Jane, I wanted to ask, and I'm glad the previous caller brought up that being picked on thing again, because you had said something earlier that was some difference from what I'd heard on a number of previous interviews. Am I correct in that they weren't, as it was stated in the previous interviews, the Klebold, Dylan, etc., were being picked on by the jocks and the popular folks, but I take it the way you stated is as a function of them participating in these petty and more grievous larcenies, that's what precipitated their being picked on?
No, well, go ahead, Jane. Yes, would you address
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. And we interviewed Evan Todd. He was shot in the library, and he was a jock. And he explained it. He gave his testimony was introduced into the Congressional Record because it was so moving, and it's on this video also. And Eric Harris and his manifesto said the reason they did what they did was because that parents and teachers had let them down and had let all of these influences happen to them, and they didn't stop it. Evan Todd said the same thing. He said the teachers wouldn't stop these kids. He said it was not the jocks. He was a jock. He was shot. He said it was not the jocks doing the terrorizing. It was the trench coat mafia.
There was a trench coat mafia, and of course, Kevin Harris and Klebold were part of that. And most of what you've gotten, Roger, is absolutely wrong. That's why this video is so important. It's Columbine, what went wrong. That's Columbine, what went wrong. And I think it's a very important video. Anything else, Roger?
Well, I thought that was a very important point, and God bless.
All right. Thank you so very much. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question for Jane, who really was instrumental in putting this video together, and I appreciate your work and the work of Eagle Forum in making this available. The problem is that it's not reaching so many parents. They have no idea what's going on in the public schools today. And I think you said it best. Oh, well, that's somebody else's public school, but they wouldn't be having pornography in my school. They wouldn't be out to turn my children against me. That wouldn't happen here. And it's really happening all across the country, isn't it, Jane?
Well, yes. Let me give you another very, very current example. You've got this Michael Moore, who made the movie Bowling for Columbine. And it's just a horrendously bad documentary. Supposedly, it's so full of falsehoods. He stole some of the material that was in there. In it, it's all gun control. And his thesis is that, well, the last thing that the boys did was go bowling, and the influence that their music or video games had on them wouldn't have any effect. It was what they heard on the nightly news that upset them. I'm going, give me a break. Well, the children in many of the high schools and colleges are required to have to watch Michael Moore's garbage and write a report on it. So what we've been saying is that if your children come up against this, you need the video that gives you the other point of view from Michael Moore's Bowling for Columbine, and that's our video, Columbine, What Went Wrong, and it's straight from the mouths of the children.
And of course, the thing is, the whole purpose of Michael Moore is he wants to disarm everybody, and basically, if some of the teachers had weapons, there wouldn't be so many dead kids.
That's
but they're
right.
Not allowed to, and what Michael Moore is part of the radical establishment that wants to disarm our people, who doesn't believe in the Constitution, doesn't believe in the Second Amendment. And Michael Moore is really a disreputable individual, however you look at it, and whether you're a Republican or Democrat, look at that man and really believe, ask yourself, is this the sort of man you want making a video that they're showing to my children about morality and what's right and wrong?
What he did, he took Mark Taylor and one of the other boys, I can't think of his name right off, but anyway, he gave them a first-class plane ticket, flew them back to the headquarters of Kmart, and they staged a demonstration there against Kmart, and they had the media and so forth, and what he said to them was, look, we brought your ammunition back to you in the bodies of these two boys. And so they made such a fuss that Kmart will no longer sell ammunition. And so he thought that this was some great feat that he had accomplished, but, I mean, my goodness, who sold the propane bottles? Who sold the tacks that were in the pipe bombs? The powder that was in the pipe bombs, and on it goes.
But it's not the weapons, it's the people who use the weapons that are the problem, and their minds had been programmed by a school system that had removed all sense of right and wrong and God and morality from them.
Yes, and what he, again, to tell you what an honest man he is, he took these two boys, he had promised them a payment from his video. Well, he had them sign a waiver, and he gave them nothing. He used them.
You're suggesting that Michael Moore is not the paragon of virtue that the media would have us believe?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Jane, I want to thank you very much for being with us. Website of Eagle Forum, and it's a great organization, is www.eagleforum.org. That's www.eagleforum.org. Phyllis Lafley, who heads it, will be our guest here, I think, this next week on her new book. Thank you so much, Jane. God bless you.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught on a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is an amazing video. It's the story of what happened to a group of peaceful people who were living, and they had a strange religion, certainly, and I disagree with what they were doing, and I disagree with David Koresh, but they were not a menace to anybody, and the government went in and killed them. Now, you say, well, but after all, they had killed some police officers. Well, the police officers had attacked the compound and actually killed some of them before people started to fight back. And unfortunately, this thing got totally out of hand. I talked to the woman who was in charge of the jury, Sarah Blaine, I think was her name, and she told me they heard all the evidence. They thought the wrong people were on trial. They didn't want those people convicted or sent to prison, except the judge told them they had to come up with some sort of an indictment, so they thought they'd get a slap on the wrist and be let out. They got 40 years. Now, there's a second video we actually carried. It's called Waco, A New Revelation, and it's interviews with people who talked to the Special Forces murderers who were sent in, Special Force team to send in to kill the women and children, and they did it. Waco, A New Revelation, I think we only have one or two more copies of it. It's very hard to come by, because the last thing they want is for the American people to know they sent in Special Forces to kill the men and the women and the children. It's an amazing video. It's an amazing story. We have a 4-tape set on Waco, and you can get that. I think we even have a Waco special. You need to get the information. You need to get the material, and you need to understand, if they can kill them and get away with it, American citizens, why, of course, who else can they kill and get away with it? And if they can cover up the fact there was a Special Forces team there, can they cover up other tragedies here in America? Call 1-800-544-8927. The New Revelation. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and the video, it's entitled Columbine, What Really Happened. That's Columbine, What Really Happened, and we recommend it too. But the one thing I think is missed is the fact that there truly are Luciferian forces working within our educational system today, working with our entertainment system, working within our music system. And if you have not seen the video, they sold their souls for rock and roll. You need to. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 4-hour version, the 10-hour version, the video of the Fallen Angel. It's the story of the Led Zeppelin album put out by this crew. It was actually the Led Zeppelin's put out the Stairway to Heaven. Led Zeppelin was a band, and their Stairway to Heaven was the most popular of all albums ever made, and was all Luciferian. They were all disciples of Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. And you'll actually see the discussion of this on the video. You'll read about Aleister Crowley, who was known as the other Loch Ness Monster, because he had a home on Loch Ness, and he was frankly a Satanist. He engaged in human sacrifices, and he was the inspiration for Timothy Leary, and for Alfred Kinsey, the sexologist, and for Harry Hay, who had the gay liberation movement, and for some of the people involved in pushing pornography in this country. You have to understand that if we don't address the satanic element, the Luciferian forces behind our educational system and behind what happened at Columbine, why do you think they're pushing death education and sex education and suicide education in our schools? Because they're evil. And when you understand that, it all makes sense. That's why these items, certainly the video, they sold their souls for rock and roll. You'll actually see the rock stars saying, "We sold our souls to the devil." They're not joking. They're deadly serious. The book Fallen Angel, my book, entitled Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to read it. You need to actually see my video that goes with that. It's the same story. You can get the book or the video or the audio tape. You can get them all together as a video. Brotherhood of Darkness special at a very reduced price. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness special. You have a 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley, one of the most powerful men during the first half of the last century, and his disciples are still working today in our educational system, at the highest levels of our government. They love war. Why? Because there's so much death and destruction. And why do you think we're not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic? You need to read my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, story of a 10-year battle with an organized medicine. Didn't matter what the doctors wanted. Didn't matter. Everything was illogical. Today, 89% of the armed forces of South Africa are HIV infected. They're all going to die. And it's an unnecessary epidemic. Doctors know how to stop the epidemic, and they've been blocked at every turn. And oh, we're going to spend $15 billion. We're going to treat these people are going to die anyway. Wouldn't it be better to try to prevent the spread of the disease? Oh, we couldn't do that. It would drive the disease underground. 40% of the women going into the clinics in Botswana for prenatal exams are infected. And what are we doing? We're going to continue the same program of trying to stop the epidemic. Well, insanity is when you do the same thing over and over again and expect you're going to get a different result. They know what they're doing. It's known as population control. You need to get our 4-tape set on population control, my talk on population control. You need to understand there really is evil in the world today. And that's what Columbine was all about. Remember the name of that video? Columbine, What Really Happened, and the other items you can get through Radio Liberty. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call. We'll be glad to send you our July newsletter. It tells you what really happened on the morning of September 11th. Not what you're going to get from Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw or Bill O'Reilly or Rush Limbaugh, but what really happened that morning. And, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because if this country doesn't turn back to God, is there any reason why God should save us from the terrible things that lie ahead? And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Till Monday, may the Lord be with you.